Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning back in to Crónicas Paranormales. In today's episode, we have a special guest named Lee, who is from UK, and he is going to tell us the story of what he lived, what paranormal events happened to him. And just like I always tell everybody, my audience, here at Crónicas Paranormales, we are a judge-free zone. We try to keep our guests feel as comfortable as possible. And then if you guys have any stories, if you guys have any events or anything paranormal related that you guys would want to share with us, you guys could always reach out to me in the email. The email is provided in the description to the podcast. And, you know, you guys could be featured in the next episode. With any other further ados, we're going to go ahead and start it off with Lee. Thank you, guys. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you.
So this whole thing is a sort of a continuation of an experience that happened over the course of about 6 months. But I'm gonna summarize it down to the main incidents.
Sounds good. Okay, so go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Okay, well, my name's Lee, and I'm from Belfast in the UK. Nice. 20 years nice old, and last year I moved out from my parents' house for the first time, and that's basically where all this activity started to happen. It's when it started to occur.
So what was it that you experienced in your new place? What exactly was it that, you know, you were experiencing?
Okay, so, well, let's see. When I first moved out, the first couple of months or so was pretty quiet. We noticed that there was a few footsteps, light switches, knocking sounds on the walls and the doors and the windows, stuff like that. It didn't really bother us. We thought it was quite funny at the time. But me and my flatmate at the time, we were into some really weird things. So we would draw symbols on the walls. We would go out to the forest at around 3 a.m. naked, shouting into the dark, making forest fires, doing little things like that. So there was already a lot of energies going on in the flat itself, in the home.
Okay.
And so we'll start off with how it sort of came about. How we started noticing was we would spend all night in one of the two of our rooms watching TV. We would hear footsteps at the bottom of the hallway. And before this all started, my flatmate had sleep paralysis, and he saw a big, a tall black figure, about the size of, probably as tall as the actual door itself.
Okay.
The average door, that's how tall this black figure is what he told me. And at the time I was like, oh, it's just, you know, normal sleep paralysis, you've seen a figure in the doorway, whatever. Brushed it off, but laughed it off. And we kept living on with our lives. But over the course of a couple of weeks, after a couple of months, the black marks started appearing on the walls. Big black streaks all along the walls, all up and down, all up and down that doorway.
Okay, so when you say the like streak marks, were they like smoky, like smoke marks, or were they like, you know, like scratches, or how would you describe them?
They were like smoky, sort of. It's as if someone has got a bit of charcoal and just scraped it across the wall. Yeah, it was none of us. You know, it wasn't us two. Obviously, it just sort of started appearing. More and more of them started to appear all over the flat, which sort of concerned us because we can't wash it off. They're still there to this day, these marks.
Oh wow, that's pretty interesting. But did these marks give off any like odor or any weird like odors to them?
No, not at all. But they appeared in the living room in the hallway, and obviously the hallway is where we hear the most activity. That's where it comes from. So at the time we were like, doorway demon, because that's what we branded the name. We were like, right, this is funny. We're just gonna call it the doorway demon to add a little humor. so we're less afraid of whatever's going on, so we don't have to pay as much attention to it.
Yeah.
So we can laugh it off easier if we give it a funny name. If you understand me.
Yeah. I'd read your story from the forum, and yeah, like you said, you know, you guys gave it the demon doorway just so that way, you know, you guys, like you said, it wouldn't be so, I guess, so scary in a way.
Yeah, it was never anything that we found scary in any way. We brushed it off, laughed it off, sort of ignored it for a while. Yeah. We just seen it as another housemate who just refuses to pay rent, and that's how we found the humor in it. So we could just ignore it that way. But and things then, obviously started to escalate.
You said things kept on escalating.
Yeah, so things started to escalate about a month after the black marks in the footsteps. So me and my flatmate started waking up with scratches on our arms and legs for a couple of mornings, and that's whenever it started getting a bit concerning. And we didn't really understand why. We assumed that we were just scratching ourselves in our sleep, but what's the likelihood that we're both doing it on the same night? We're just scratching ourselves and cutting ourselves in our sleep.
For the scratches, were they just like, you know, like your normal everyday scratch, or was it more like a animalistic scratch?
My scratches personally, they only came out in my arms. They were sort of like, yeah, your general scratches, like if someone had scratched you almost with their nails. That's kind of how it was. It's what it looked like. Scab over and stuff. It was deep enough to scab. My flatmate, though, he came out with on his arms and his legs, and a few bruises too. We didn't know where it was coming from.
Oh yeah, that's when the entities already like start. They're pretty much trying to tell you like, hey, we're here. Like, don't ignore us. From my experiences, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Go ahead and continue with your story.
Okay, so fast forward maybe a couple of days after that, me and my flatmate are sitting in my room, and a shadow ascends up from behind my head, basically, and disappears into the ceiling. And from then we're a bit freaked out by it because we didn't know what it was. It looked like exactly like a hand disappear into the ceiling. There's no bugs, there's no flies. We made sure that there was no insects around the light bulb to make, you know, that could cause something like that to happen. It was a bit weird at the time, but as I said, at the time I was in extreme denial that anything paranormal may be happening, and I still am until this day, a bit fighting with my own mentality about the whole thing.
Yes.
Whether or not I believe in this sort of thing or not, Bill.
When you experience the feeling of the hand.
Yep.
What's it called? Did you feel? Because you know how there is the, sense, or they have this. There is this sense called the fly or fight mode.
Yep.
Where pretty much with, did you experience any of that? Like were you like, oh, like, there's somebody watching me, or like,
there was never
what was
the fight or flight mode? That's a primal instinct in our human nature, obviously. So I did experience that once, and that was just before I moved out. But at the time it was very freaky. We were a bit freaked out, but we kind of pursued this is whenever we started to sort of taunt whatever there was in the flat at the time. We started to sort of make fun of to try and get more activity. If you understand that.
Okay.
Legitimate or not.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that you guys were taunted with? Like, were you guys just calling names, or, you know, just do prayers, or
what you guys were doing? We had colored lights. So we've got like red light bulbs all over the place, so it illuminates the room's red, very dim. We would we would always try and, you know, call out the names of the doorway demons, sort of make fun of it, saying that it's not real. Just trying to do anything that we can that would generally piss off any spirits in general. So that was a whole thing. We, as a pair, aren't really easily spooked. So we found this whole thing a little bit funny. Which, at this point, a lot of people would probably consider maybe saging their homes. Just as good, but we had no intention to.
Something to get rid of it.
Yeah, we wanted to conjure this thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when you guys, did you guys ever manage to see a physical manifestation of this this entity?
I think I did once, which was...
how would you describe it?
I was... Well, this is one of the stories that I posted that you read. And as I mentioned, I work in a bar. I work in one of the biggest bars in my city. So I get back late. I get back at around 1 or 2. And when I get back, I start making dinner. Me and my flatmate were in the kitchen. We're making dinner, making some food. And he leaves the kitchen. And I can see him at the corner of my eye leaving. So I turn around and I follow the black silhouette figure, which, you know, looks kind of like him, but a bit taller, a bit wider. But I wasn't, you know, I was in work all day. I was tired and it was dark. So I just assumed it was him. I followed into the dark living room. I thought he was trying to hide away and jump out at me, trying to be a bit of a dick about it. So I followed him in and I seen him walk into the cupboard where I sleep now. And I opened the door and he squatted down in the corner, a black silhouette squatted down, staring at me. And I say, "What are you doing? Why are you walking? What's the goal in doing this? You're being a dick. I'm trying to make dinner. Right, food's burning. That's it. Fuck you. I'm away." And I walked out of the room and the chain in the bathroom at the other side of the hallway flushed. And he came walking out of the bathroom, you know, giving me the finger guns.
Yeah.
And being like, "What are you doing? Who are you talking to?" And I said, "What?" Because I just followed him into the living room, directly behind him, into the cupboard. In the pitch black dark, I didn't think about turning on any lights. At the time, it was just very like, I'm going to follow him and see what he's doing. But no, it wasn't him. So I followed what I'm assuming is this entity. And at the time, it freaked me out a lot because no one really believed that this is something that genuinely happened.
Yeah.
But, tall black figure. That's what I said.
I was going to say, okay, so yeah, so you saw the shadow, well, what appeared to be like a shadow, you followed it. And then after... You know, were you and your crew, when you were in your friend or your mate?
Yeah.
Were you guys like, spooked out after you realized that, you know, that you followed something that it wasn't your friend?
So.
Or were you like more calm at the moment? Like oh, whatever. It was whatever.
I laughed it off. We both laughed it off. I was freaked out for sure, but I laughed it off because I've got a bit of a personality disorder that sort of turns off a lot of emotions, so getting scared isn't really part of me. I would just sort of humorize anything sort of negative in order to get past it. So that was the whole thing. And you know, for a couple of weeks longer, the footsteps sort of turned more into stomps in the hallway, the knocking turned more into banging, and the light switches were just a lot more frequent, turning on and off. And we definitely noticed this.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you think that you guys possibly attracted this thing when, you know, since you guys were doing like some kind of, because you say you and your friend would draw like symbols and stuff like out in the woods and stuff. Do you think you possibly could have attracted this, or do you think this entity was already pre-existing in the home?
So I think this, whatever this entity is, was already pre-existing. I think it's something that was never even part of the home, but it's part of me. I was talking to my grandmother the other day. And I was asking her about it because this, I have vivid nightmares all the time about a woman. A black figure, pale white face. And it's a gut instinct that I just sort of know her name's called Mary. And every time I see her, it's a nightmare, you know, she's just not a nice woman. So I asked my granny about this. I asked her, I said, what was your grandmother's name? And she said Mary. She was tall for a woman. And she loved you as a baby. But she died whenever I was a couple of months old. Same with my granda. So I thought that was a bit of a coincidence because this woman fits the exact description of whatever it is I'm seeing. And I feel like she is related to me, but I don't know what she wants.
Do you think that maybe this entity, you know, maybe this entity, if it was your relative,
yep.
Do you think they are trying to give you a message to help them out, pass on to the next life? Or do you think this is like, they just got attached to you for whatever reason, like, and they're trying to get you to notice them? What is your personal input?
It's more of the second one. So I think they're trying to tell me something about me being somewhat special, a little more significant than the average person, which is why I'm able to see whatever this is and why there's so much activity. My mother saged the house on the regular basis back whenever I lived back at my parents' house. So there was very, very little activity, but it always felt like there was someone breathing down my neck. Especially at night time, if I was walking about the house, always someone breathing down my neck, always shadow figures walking around. But I'd always pass it off. It's something I'm very, very much used to by now.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're one of those people that are very sensitive to the paranormal. I feel you on that. I'm sensitive to paranormal activity and stuff.
Yep.
I've seen things before. I've seen shadows, like you said. I've seen, I think my very first paranormal experience, I had it when I was about 6 years old. But this comes from my grandma's side of the family because some of the women in my grandma's side of the family, they were mediums. They were able to see, they were able to see dead people pretty much, you know, just leave it at what it is. And so...
So you think it's a genetic thing?
I do feel it is a genetic thing, and I do feel like you might have that ability to do that, to be able to see stuff.
I agree because my grandmother, she's been sent for years. She talks to her dead relatives at the end of her bed every night, and something that she would tell the rest of the family, and obviously the rest of the family don't believe her, and we just let her carry on with her high tools. As such as what we believe, but I think I'm starting to genuinely believe her because I'm also seeing these things and it's getting a bit more intense and it's escalating the more and more I give it attention.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you seen any other particular, I mean, you probably have, I don't know how developed your ability is, but have you seen any other you know, like any other entities, like ghosts, besides the shadow people that you've seen?
Yeah.
Like actual ghost, or is it just right now just the shadow figure that you were experiencing?
I always have a gut feeling that it's a mixture between a lot of different entities, if that's a thing at all. So it's always usually shadow figures. I don't pay much attention to it, but I feel like they're more common in my dreams. My dreams are plagued with people that I've never seen before in my life, and people that are always trying to send me some sort of message, but I don't know who they are. I have very, very vivid dreams all the time, and I keep a dream journal about it all too.
Let me ask you this real quick. So have you ever had any, I believe it's called not sleep paralysis, I forgot the name of it right now, but have you seen the movie Insidious? You know where...
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you've seen it, right?
Or no? Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, have you had those kind of dreams where you go to sleep and then your body kind of
leaves and goes into the spirit world almost?
Yeah. Have you experienced any of that?
I do have vivid dreams about dead relatives a lot all the time, and it's always in places that I've never been to before. I personally believe if you have things like that, it's quite hard to tell whether it is that or it's just a very vivid dream, but I have them all the time. I do have them all the time, and they are quite unsettling to experience.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because when I started experiencing those kind of dreams, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you sleep on your back, if you sleep on your side, but for me, when I have those kind of dreams, they usually occur to me when I'm sleeping on my back. You know, I'll go to sleep and then my mind just relaxes, and the next thing I know, because I feel my real body. Yeah.
Constantly aware.
And then, like, I'm aware. And so then I just, like, I'll be in places that I've never been to, and I'm just like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I here? So that's what I'm asking you.
Real places, they are real places.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, so I generally try to avoid sleeping on my back because I end up having very, very bad nightmares when I sleep on my back because of that. Anytime I sleep up, like I wake up on my back, I'll wake up shaking and almost go into stage fright. I'll wake up shaking, I can't breathe. It feels like someone's pressing down on my chest and someone is staring from point blank range in my face, a couple centimeters away from my face, just staring at me. That's usually how it feels. And so I try to avoid sleeping on my back because of that reason. But yeah, you know where I'm coming from. You know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I can relate to your what's it called, experience, to where whenever you wake up on your back, sometimes you need to, like, presence or somebody pressing on your chest, because I experienced that before too. You know, I have experienced it, and it's really weird.
It does freak me out, but I mean, I'll give you an example of another the bad incident that I did post as well, which was about a week before I moved out. And as I said before, working at a bar, so I'm getting home late, and as soon as I walk into my flat, my flatmate's at work as well. He gets back in, say, over half an hour from the point I walk in. And I open the door and I walk in to the hallway, and it's like I stepped into a bubble. Everything goes quiet. I feel like I'm stuck in some sort of claustrophobic, transparent bubble. And I can hear footsteps on maybe a meter to my right. Just sort of slowly approaching, I can hear it. I can hear shuffling, and you know, I freeze up for a moment. I don't really know how to feel about it, and I walk into the kitchen to make some food to try and, you know, drown out the sound a little bit, distract my mind, ignore it, and it's just constant stomping in the living room, getting closer into the hallway, and I'm trapped in the kitchen. So I decided to stop making food and walk into my room, into my bedroom, and close my door, turn on, you know, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because it's a funny show. I can drown out the sounds through the TV, and I'm fine. I'll just wait for my flatmate to get home. It's, what, about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, so I got out early, and I didn't close the door, I just turned on the TV, because I don't usually close my door, and I heard the footsteps traveling up the corridor to my bedroom. And say, for example, you're looking at your bedroom door right now. You're looking at your bedroom door, wide open, but you know someone's just on the other side. Just on the other side of that left-hand side of the corridor, the right-hand side of the corridor, whatever. You just know someone's there. So I walked over. I didn't step out. I just sort of stood just outside of my peripherals for being able to see around the corner. I heard it. I heard the shuffling, and I slammed my door shut, because I've never heard it that close before. And So I called my flatmate, you know, I asked him, when are you coming home? Is there any chance you'll be home soon? Because things are starting to escalate here a little bit and kind of freaking me out this time because I'm on my own. It's the middle of the night. And he says, I'll be home in half an hour. Don't worry. Just calm down. It's only the doorway demon. It's not going to do anything. And I thought I heard a knock on my door. And from this point, I shit myself. My body drains of energy, and I press myself up against the door, back by my back, and I'm sort of sitting there. I'm stressing out a little bit. My head's in my hands, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, right, I'm imagining things. I'm just having a wee bit of an active imagination. I'm paranoid, and then I felt the banging, like someone was punching my door from the other side. I felt it run through my body. And from that point, I didn't know what to do. Because I felt like someone was trying to break into my room. And that's when the fight or flight instinct kicked in. Because I thought, how am I going to punch a ghost? I can't. I can't fight a ghost. There's only one way out of this, and it's to get out of this flat somehow. And we're upstairs. So I can't just sort of jump out a window, you know?
So you guys are on the second floor, okay.
Yeah, we're on the second floor, so harder to jump out the window. My window didn't open up all the way at the time, so I opened the door, and I sprint through the hallway as fast as I could. And I wait outside for my flatmate, but that entire time, I was being tormented, and I felt like I was getting closed in on. It was claustrophobic. The bubble, you know, it was like someone had switched off reality for me in a second, and I was in this whole new dimension, sort of stuck between some sort of parallel universe of what's real and what's not. I'm constantly questioning myself because I don't know what I'm experiencing, but I felt constantly in danger the entire time. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm actually picturing you right now, you know, like just what you're saying, like, you know, like you just feel like I call it an oppression. When stuff like that happens, you just feel like you're getting oppressed, like you're getting backed into a little corner. You know, that's what I call it.
Yeah. You know, no, that's exactly what it is. Someone's like, almost someone's backing me into a corner. Like, I'm against the ropes here, and I've got no other way out. That's what I felt like.
Okay. Have you or your flatmate is your roommate in American, correct? That's what it is, a roommate?
Oh, it's a flatmate. Well, we live in the UK. We live in Northern Ireland.
Uh-huh.
So we're doing the UK. But yeah, flatmate, we'll do just fine.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying because I'm gonna have a couple of questions from the audience saying, oh, so is that a roommate? Or is that like a, you know, like a roommate or somebody that lives with the person? But we'll just call it flatmate being a roommate, so that way there is.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I live with the guy. Listeners. So, yeah, we'll just think of it as an apartment.
He lives in a roommate. Room, yeah, it's a room.
Yeah, roommate. Okay, yeah, roommate. We'll do just fine.
Okay. So then, have you or your flatmate, have you guys tried seeking like any help, like any, you know? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you guys are religious or not. You know, but have you guys tried seeking help or advice from, you know, like a priest or, you know, somebody who's more like able to help you guys out with that?
So this is the tricky part. Our we're not religious people, but we come from a Protestant background. So in the Protestant church, we don't have priests.
Okay.
We've got reverence, but as far as sort of exorcisms or stuff, anything like that, we don't do it in this church. And
you guys don't believe on that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And we're unable to bring any sort of priests or anything to our area of the city because there's a sectarian issue going on at the moment, you know, a civil war going on between Catholics and Protestants. So the worst thing to do would be to even try and attempt to bring a member of the Catholic Church up to a Protestant area, because the chances are if anyone were to find out that we'd done that, we'd get kicked out of our homes, and you know, someone we could be responsible for the death of a priest for all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So we can't do that.
Yeah, that's hardcore. That's very hardcore. What about have you guys tried, like, maybe yourselves? Because I know they say that you could use salt to do protection circles, you know, for like a perimeter.
Yeah.
And supposedly, you know, when you put the salt, the spirit or entity, we'll just call them entities because we don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to cross over, you know, whatever protection circle you put in there.
Yeah.
Is that something that you guys have tried as well or no?
No, we've not tried to do any sort of protections at all, really. We haven't really thought about it. But it wasn't long after that incident that I moved out. I moved out maybe a week later because I was unable to afford to keep living there, unfortunately. So I moved out for about a year. Uh-huh. When I was back in my parents' house, my mom was constantly sieging the house. She was sieging me. And then whenever I did move back, I moved back about a month ago, and the light switches and the footsteps, the knocking, it's all happening again. But I'm just paying less attention to it because what I noticed is if you pay it more attention, the more escalates. So you just let it be. Leave it alone. Although the other night I did, I sat in my living room at around 3 a.m. I lit a tea candle and I meditated for maybe 20 minutes or so, just trying to get in tune with whatever it is might be there for a while. Just, you know, experimenting with myself and experimenting with whatever there is that might be a thing, some form of entity.
Just be careful because, you know, if it is a demonic entity, which hopefully it is not, but if it is, those are, they're aggressive. You know, they start off playing, like, you know, little pranks and tricks in here and there, and then it quickly escalates to where they're actually harming the person.
Scratches and stuff.
Yeah, like, well, scratches is the beginning of, like, of them telling you, hey, I'm present. Like, don't, you know, like, I'm here. But, your story is pretty interesting. It seems to me like you just have like some kind of like normal entity in there. Well, I mean, not normal, but some kind of like non-demonic entity.
Yep.
That is trying to make its presence aware to you. And yeah, like you said, the less attention you pay to it, the less it grows in energy. Because like dead presences, any or dead entities, what they usually do, they go and try to feed off of your fear. So the more scared you are, the more fear you give them, and then the bigger they get, the more energy they get.
I suppose it's kind of like food for them. There was a one incident where we had a tent in our living room. It was folded up, sort of tucked into a wardrobe, and it flew across the room one night unexpectedly. I keep forgetting that was ever a thing because that much activity has happened. I forget half the stuff that happens anymore. But that was a thing. I remember that being a thing. The tent flying across the room after being folded and put it away. So,
have you guys ever tried setting up a camera at night? You know, just to see if you guys could capture anything. You know, just like any visuals, or is that something that you guys wouldn't do, or it hasn't crossed your mind?
It's something, it's never really crossed our minds, but we don't really have the resources to do a lot about this sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I know there is an paranormal investigation team that will come free in our country, but then again, I don't know if it's really worth, I don't know if it's worth it, worth the hassle, because I don't know how I feel about it. I'm still in denial. I'm very wishy-washy about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the best you can do right now, like you said, is just, you know, try to keep a calm mind, you know, try to be positive. Play it out for right now, keep calm, and then if you see, like, the events escalate, maybe try to search for some, you know, professional help, you know, from the paranormal team that you said that, you know, they're able to do stuff like that, if, you know, if that's something that you can do. That way you could get rid of it, you know, if it's something possible.
Yeah, well, as I said, well, everyone, I live with three guys now, and we've all got something technically mentally wrong with us. Anyway, so we're all unable to sort of, you know, we're very unable to express ourselves normally anyway. So personally, I don't mind saying that, but I've got antisocial personality disorder. So I'm unable to sort of, I don't really easily get triggered by things like that. I laugh at everything. I laugh it off. It's not something that's really bothered me, and we've got that much stuff going on anyway in our own personal lives that this is something that's very secondary, and we only think about when it occurs, if you understand.
Oh, okay.
It's not something that we talk about.
Okay, so yeah, like you said, you know, you guys don't give it like your main attention to it. So I mean, you guys should be good on that matter.
Yeah.
How long has this been going on? You say like about 6 months.
2 years.
Or was it longer than
officially, it's been going on for 2 years. But this is something that's I've always had this sort of thing happen to me throughout my whole life, and I'm nearly 21 now, so this is something that's been in my life. Experiencing these things, but it's normal for me, so I'm okay with it. I've never really been someone who's scared of something like this. It's really okay with me.
Well, that's good that you're not a person that gets spooked really easily. I know there is people who have nerves of steel where, you know, stuff like this doesn't really bother you unless they start actually physically harming you. You know, but other than that, then you guys should be fine. I do think you guys should be fine as long as, like you said, you guys don't pay attention to it. You guys just kind of
go
about your life.
We ignore it.
Yeah.
But the only issue is my flatmates, they have girlfriends, and they'll come up and then they'll freak out about it. So they pay attention.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the issue. So that's why it's still, in a way, escalating.
Yeah,
and we do pay attention, you know, we'll point it out when it happens sometimes, you know, if the knock's particularly, if it's loud, we'll be like, oh, did you hear that? Doorway demon. Haha. And then move on from it immediately. So we do
give
minimal attention.
Okay, well, that's a good way to approach it. Have you guys ever seen so you say you've seen objects fly with a tent. But have you seen any other objects fly besides the tent? Just the one time?
The tent was one thing. What else? The curtains came off the railing once. I remember that was a thing. The curtains came down. Little things. It was always little things. Things moving about the room from time to time. You know, I put something in the living room, walk away, come back, it will be in the other side of the living room or whatever. That was normal. Those two incidences where things actually moved in front of us, fell down in front of us, wasn't anything in particular. I think the door may have slammed once in front of us too, but that was it. That's about
it. What about whispers? Have you guys heard any whispers or any voices or any of those things?
See, it's hard for me to understand what's real and what's not for me, because I'd normally hear and see things anyway, so I can't really decipher it myself what isn't my brain just making things up or what's me actually hearing it.
Okay, so we'll just leave that as non-applicable then.
on
that section. Let me tell you a little story that happened to me here in my house. So I've been doing this paranormal podcasting for like 2 years and a half now, like I was telling you on the blog.
Yep.
And I'm a person, like I said, I believe in energy and stuff like this. I do believe my house was haunted at one point. So what happened to me was I was coming back from work at 2 a.m. and I heard, like you said, I heard like shuffling, because I heard shuffling or footsteps on my living room. So I'm opening the door, and I thought it was my brother, my youngest brother.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, he's probably out here getting a snack, whatever.
Yep.
I opened the door, and I flashed my phone's flashlight, and I seen a shadow just kind of ducked under the table. And so I was like, all right, dude. I was like, you. But you didn't come and try to
up. And then next thing I know, I said, if you're still here by the time I get to the living room, I'm gonna beat your ass.
Yeah.
I had my hydro flask just fucking thrown at me, just boom, thrown at me. And I look, I turn on the lights and I'm like, oh hell no, dude, like what the fuck?
Right, dude, that's you're going for, yeah.
So I turn on the lights, I go look in the kitchen, there was nobody. And I said, maybe he sneaked out to his room. I came to my brother's room, he was there asleep. And so what I did, I just kinda ignored whatever was going on at the time for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And there would be times in the morning, like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, where I would feel like there was a presence looking at me, and I would hear things kind of like crumble, things that normally would have not been able to fall down because they weren't like on like boxes or cases.
Yeah.
And they would just like fall down out of nowhere.
See,
but
yeah, no, I so you've had a similar experience, is what you're saying, the what I had.
Yeah.
But did you do anything to sort of help that situation?
Well, what I did, my grandma, and my grandma taught us a prayer. It's in Spanish. It's a Spanish prayer.
Yep.
Where it's supposed to be a protective prayer, and you know, once you recite this prayer, the entity or whatever it is, it kind of becomes at peace with itself. And if it's a soul looking for the light to pass on to the next life or whatever, to the heaven, or you know, it helps to pass on. But if it's an entity or whatever, it protects you, you know, it's supposed to protect you. I could see and try to find it, see if they have an English version of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could send it to you through Reddit, and maybe, you know,
yeah, for sure.
If that's something that you know,
but I'll give it a try.
That's just what I did. You know, I would recite the prayer. Like I said, it's supposed to be a protection prayer, but it was taught on to me by my grandma. It, you know, it's been passed down through generations, just in case stuff like that ever happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much it with like my little paranormal experiences here at my house. I mostly have experienced other ones outside of my house at work. It's weird.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. I work at a grocery store. This happened to me about 2 months now, going on 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I work at a grocery store.
Okay.
And I was outside in the garden center cleaning out the flowers and stuff like that because we have flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, I had my headphones on. I was like listening to music. And then I start hearing a whisper, just shh, shh, shh. And I look, I didn't see anybody. I thought it was a customer.
Yeah.
And I look at the time. I'm like, oh, it's already 10 p.m. Like, we're already close. Like, there's supposed to be no customers. So we're close.
Yeah.
I kept on looking, you know, kept on sweeping, cleaning up, and then I kept on hearing shh, 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 whispers. So then, next thing I know, I'm like, where is this coming from? You know, maybe it's a cat, a bird, whatever. I look, and we have, out in the distance, we have a shelf, a metallic shelf where we put our plant supplies. I look up in there, and I seen this little shadow. It was this little dark shadow of a boy. He was standing up there, and I look, and I said, "What are you doing up there? Like, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be with your mom and your dad." I didn't get a response. So then I walk closer to it, and I'm about like maybe 2 centimeters away from it, give or take, really close to it. And I see it face to face. It was a smoky black shadow figure of a child, and it looks at me. And it grinned. It just smiled at me. Like, it started showing me, like, its fangs and stuff. And I said, wow, this is not a human child. This is something else. So then I just asked it. I was like, what do you want? Like, what do you want? Like, you're not supposed to be here. Like, go back where you came from. And then it just looked at me, and it just went like, shh. Like, telling me to be quiet. It looks at me.
And then as it started looking at me, started trying to walk closer to me, that yeah. baby was no longer a baby. It was starting to grow into a huge, like an adult.
Yeah.
And then horns, little horns started coming out of his forehead. And I just ran. I was like, no, I'm not dealing with this shit.
See, for me, that's something that I aspire to see. As a writer, anyway, I write films. I'm a script writer. So something like that would really inspire me to give me some form of creativity behind script. I'm a horror junkie. You know, I specialize in horror, so these sort of things is something that I want to have around me in real life, and something that I'm willing to sort of expose myself to instead of trying to fix it or hide away from it.
Yeah. So let me. So okay, since you're a scriptwriter and stuff, like the image in your head of how this thing looked like. Have you seen the movie Hellboy?
Yep.
I'm assuming you have.
Yep.
Okay. Have you seen the scene where he's like, he's with his head looking down, and the next thing you know, his horns are coming out of his head like that, and like little flames come out of his horns.
Oh yeah.
So. It was, the horns look exactly like Hellboy's horns, like that coming out of his, but they were coming out of the side of his head, not the forehead, the side.
The side?
And they were curving in like that. Yeah, side of the head, curving in like that. I didn't get to see the horns grow all the way on this thing. Like I said, I got scared. And my God pretty much told me, because I go, but I went into a fly or fight mode. My God and my body just pretty much told me, you need to get the fuck out of there. Like, you need to go. So I just turned around and I ran. What happened?
I'm sorry. I was going to say that it sounds kind of biblical. It sounds like something that I read out of the Bible. There's something.
I don't know what.
It sounds very similar to that.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know what it was. It was just weird. Like it was like unusually weird. And whenever I experience stuff like this, for whatever reason. Like if I'm out in the dark, like if I'm out, you know, if I'm out at night, whatever,
yep.
the scenery becomes quiet, just a peaceful, quiet thing. And the next thing I know, like I'll be seeing weird shit.
Yeah.
Like I'll be seeing weird stuff. So, but that's how I know that I'm already like seeing paranormal stuff, because everything was quiet. And then I just, you know, started seeing things. Another way that I know when I'm about to see like paranormal stuff or like apparitions, I started getting a really loud buzzing sound on my ears.
Buzzing?
The best way, yeah, like a buzzing, just like a.
Do you know what that means?
But, I mean, if you know what it means, I wanna know. I wanna learn.
The buzzing sound. Well, it said that if you, the seven circles of hell, okay. The closer you get to hell through the seven circles, a buzzing sound is amplified. So the deeper you go, the louder this buzzing sound becomes. Because there's so many damned souls in hell, they're all screaming and pain at once. It comes off as a buzzing sound. So that's what you're hearing. Essentially, that's what they say is what that means. That buzzing sound that you're hearing is actually billions of souls damned in hell, screaming in pain.
So it's the sound of the damned, right? That's what it
is. Yeah, that's what that means. This is the sound of the damned.
Wow, that's I've never even saw it that way. Like I just, like I said, I just call it a buzzing sound. But yeah, like I would hear that, and then next thing I know, like my vision gets kind of glary, and then that's when I started seeing things, and I'm just like, oh, what the fuck? Like, how is? I'll just be like, whoa, okay, so. I see this, or I saw that, or, you know, just, you know, stuff like that. It's just weird.
It is. It's quite strange, but, you know, you gotta learn to accept it and sort of live with it. Because if that's something that you're going to experience on the regular basis, then you might as well teach yourself to sort of get over it and live with it, which is what I'm trying to do right now, because at the end of the day, these things aren't really hurting me. They're just sort of making themselves known to me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, that's
That's pretty interesting. I learned something new today from you, Lee. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your knowledge. Do you have anything else you want to say, or I think we should wrap it up already?
Let's wrap it up. We can wrap it up. I'm at a party at the moment because obviously there's always a party going on in Belfast. So I'm at a party at the moment. So I'm planning on getting back to that after this.
Okay, sounds good, man. Well, thank you for coming into Crónicas today. That means Chronicles, but I say in Spanish because it sounds more dramatic.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming in with your story. And I will try to publish this episode later on this week. Look for it on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yep, send me a link.
I will send you a link. And I do appreciate your time. And hopefully next time we'll have you again for a second interview. Or, you know, if you have any
I'll keep you updated about the events that are currently occurring at the moment.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you very much, Lee, and I hope to see you in the next time, and, you know, be safe. I'll see you in the next one.
All right, thank you very much for having me. Bye-bye.